And why don't we take a moment to thank God for everything that He is doing in our lives? Come on, let's put our hands together. He's up to something. He's up to good. He's up to something. You know, I've got to tell you that over the years that especially my son was little, whenever the house was quiet, we knew he was up to no good. But when you don't know what God is doing, you can be confident that He's up to good, because God only does good. God doesn't do bad. Psalm 119, verse 68 says, God, You are good and You do good. You do good. So God is up to good right now in your world. And I want to take a moment to pray for every single one of you, how in this season we choose to disrupt the disruption. We spoke about that last week. This series is called The Disrupt. So we're making a decision that instead of just going with the flow, we're making a decision to rise up today in faith and disrupt the disruption. So come on, all around this place, why don't you lift your hands if you're in this building in Chester. We're sending our love to you, Pastor Mark and Em, Lee Lazandri over there in Chester. Lift your hands at home. And I want everybody, I want you to pray this prayer after me out loud. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank You for this moment in time. And even when I don't know what You're doing, thank You that Your word tells me that You are up to good. I thank You that that day of good is coming to pass. In Jesus' name. So Father, right now I take this moment to pray for everybody across the life of Audacious Church, from those who are lonely in this season to others who have got so many questions with not many answers, for those who are finding that the disruption of COVID has been unsettling. Lord, I pray that Your presence and Your peace would rest heavily upon everyone, because God, we know that where Your presence is, there is both peace and blessing. So I speak blessing over the life of Audacious Church. I speak blessing over you right now in Jesus' name. The word says, may His face shine upon you. He will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together and thank God. He is up to good, He is up to good, He is up to good. In Jesus' name. You can grab a seat. I gotta tell you, this morning being on the door in church, it's such a struggle not to hug everybody as you're walking through the door, but it's great to see you, great to be with you. And listen, I wanna encourage you this week, let's really pray for our Prime Minister. Let's pray for those who are making decisions. They're talking about potentially new lockdown measures. We're gonna hear more about that this week, and we want God to have His way in this season, don't we? We want God to have His way in our lives and in our nation. Our confidence is in the Lord. And we are in this series called The Disrupt. And I was reminded just this week that my wife, back when we first got married, maybe we were engaged. I remember about to walk on stage to preach at a large youth event. And Sophie turned to me and she said this. She says, Glenn, one piece of advice, walk like you've got something to say. Walk like you've got something to say. In other words, put your shoulder back, put a spring in your step, because really what she was helping me to understand then and what is so true right now is how you approach a situation matters. Let me say that again. How you approach this situation that you find yourself in, it absolutely matters. If you're going for an interview, you dress to impress. It matters how you approach the situation. If you're meeting the Queen, you bow. If somebody is introducing someone you don't know to you, courtesy dictates you stand to your feet and you look that person in the eye that you'd never met before. Because how you approach a situation absolutely matters. And in a season of lockdown, in a season called COVID-19, in a season that in 10 years' time we will look back on as a little bit of a blip on humanity's radar on our lives, in 10 years we'll look back and say, do you remember that really strange season in our lives? That when we look back, one of the things that we understand is behind everything is really rampant and rife in this season is fear. Like at every turn, fear abounds. The what if, the I wonder, the news reports, morning, noon, and night. At the beginning of lockdown, we were warned of millions of deaths in this country, and that they use really graphic imagery of body bags, etc. And of course, thank God that has not transpired. But now we're getting other news reports of other sorts of things. And the danger is this, is that if we feed ourselves only on popular media today, then fear will increase, anxiety will begin to weigh us down. It will really get to us. Fear is running rampant and ruining lives. But let me just say this, church, that Christianity has the antidote. I'm not too sure if you heard me at home. Christianity has the antidote to fear. Come on, give me some clapping hand emojis online right now. Christianity, the Bible says that Christianity has the antidote to fear. Now listen, growing up in Australia, there were things that we needed antidotes for. Spiders, snakes, etc. And there is a very small spider in Australia called a redback spider. It's about the size of your little fingernail, and it is poisonous and potentially deadly. And one day, my sister put on her slippers and made the mistake of not checking the shoes. Now this is Australian 101. You always check your shoes. Not because the kids have put Lego in it, but because you don't know what else is in it. And on this particular day, my sister didn't check the slippers, put her foot in there, and got bitten on the foot by a little redback spider. Thank God we have something called an antidote. The antidote goes to work to reverse the effects of the thing that is poisonous against the human system. And I want you to know, the Bible says that God has not given any of us the spirit of fear. The Bible says, but of love and power and sound mind. So in a season where it feels like fear is getting the best of many of us, the Bible says that you, my friend, you have the antidote. Now, the series kind of verse that we're looking at is Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And today we're going to be speaking about why we don't need to cower in fear in this season, why we can walk as bold as a lion. Why can we? It's because we got the antidote. Say this with me. Because we got the antidote. Here we go. After three, one, two, three. Because we've got the antidote. And the antidote to fear is one thing, it's faith. God has given you, Christian men and women, He has given you, if you're a follower of Jesus, He's given you a whole injection of faith. You have the antidote to fear. You've got the ability to overcome. You've got the ability to suppress fear as it's trying to weigh you down. You have the antidote. Say this after me. I have the antidote. I have the antidote. And so I want to break down fear. I want to help, faith. I want to help you to understand faith because it can feel like a nebulous concept. It can feel like something just floating out there in the theological airwaves. But I want to make it as practical as possible to you today so that you can know that faith is the antidote to fear and you have it. You have the antidote in Jesus' name. The first thing I want you to lay a hold of about faith is this, is that faith is about seeing the big picture. Faith sees the big picture. Now, I love this. I love the fact that faith gives me a very different big picture than what fear does. Some years ago, when my sister and I, we were young, we were doing a jigsaw puzzle. It was about 2,000 pieces. The thing that made it difficult was there was no picture for the puzzle, and so we had to make it up as we were going along. And in your life, the big picture determines the details of your daily living. Let me say that again. The big picture determines the details of your daily living. The big picture determines the details of your daily speaking. Walking, thinking, feeling is determined by and large by the big picture that you carry. Lewis Carroll said this. He said, any road will take you where you are going when you don't know where you are going. But when you have a big picture, I mean, surely there's no greater crisis in life than to end up in a season of saying to yourself, this was not the life I intended to live. But when you have a big picture, now what I love about the scriptures is this, the Bible, is we have this meta-narrative, this overarching narrative of scripture, of life for you and I, which presents a big picture like Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Sometimes I don't know, sometimes you don't know, but He knows the plans He has for you. Plans to prosper, not to harm, to give you a future and a hope. Big picture, Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good person, a righteous person, they are ordered by the Lord. Friend, did you not think that God saw COVID-19 coming? And even in this season, I don't need to run in fear. The righteous are as bold as a lion because the steps of a righteous man and woman, they are ordered by God. Did you know the Bible says in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, then who or what virus or what end of furlough scheme or what economic downturn or what challenge can be against us? Philippians 1 verse 6, I am confident. This is written by a guy called Paul who had a big picture, meta-narrative that he was looking at. And so even in a prison cell, he could say, you know what? Even in a lockdown of lockdowns, I am confident that He who began a good work, He is faithful. And the God who started it, He's the God who'll finish it in Jesus' name. So let me speak to Christian men and women, children of God, people that the Bible calls as righteous, not because of your good doing, but because of His good doing. Let me speak this to you and say this. When someone asks, how are you doing? The answer is this, great. Every single time. You're saying, well, Pastor Glenn, what about when I'm not great? No, you're missing the point. You see, if the devil's in the detail, then God's in the big picture. And if the big picture is a big picture of God with us, God for us, God on our side, then the initial answer needs to be a change from woe is me. Our initial answer needs to be great. And then with certain people, you begin to press into your challenges. You can talk about your mental ill health and your loneliness and isolation. But friend, I want you to know when you change your big picture of what you see, God is with me, God is on my side, God goes before me, God makes a way. I want you to know that in life, the big picture determines the details of daily living. My day is changed because my big picture is not what the media presents. It is not what social commentators say. My big picture is found in the 66 books of the Bible. God is with me. He is Emmanuel. We have Christ in us. It changes everything. I'm here to tell you, if fear is the poison, faith is the antidote. Faith sees the big picture. Second thing about faith is this, is that faith is about applying the right contents to the right picture. Let me say it again. Faith is about applying the right contents to the big picture. So when my son was small and he was doing some Lego and he called me into the room, he said, hey, Dad, I'm struggling to build this. And I sat down, I looked at the picture and I got the contents of the box and I was struggling until I realized that the last time he played with his Lego, he put the wrong contents in the wrong box. It's very difficult to take a picture and apply the wrong contents and get the right picture. I think that's what happens to many of us. That actually, we come to faith in Christ. We have a revelation of God and His goodness. And then the danger is we take the contents of our old life and then begin to apply it to a new picture. We wonder why worry doesn't fit in the new picture. We wonder why anxiety doesn't fit within the new picture. We wonder why the me, myself, and I mentality doesn't fit in the new picture. It's because what faith requires is faith requires us to put the right contents into the right picture. This whole idea that I need to take the God life, the God drive, the God motivations, and apply that
into the picture. So God, now I don't believe in what the media says first and foremost, and I don't believe in just what my doctor says first and foremost, and I don't believe in what the chancellor says first and foremost. God, first and foremost, I believe in you. God, I have faith that you will come through. God, I am confident in your character. God, I'm confident in your ability. I believe in your word. I believe that you're making a way for me. It's what Oswald Chambers said all those years ago. He said, faith is a deliberate confidence in the character of God in whose ways you may not understand at the time. And so, God, I don't know a lot, but I do believe in you. Church, say this after me, wherever you're watching from. God, I believe in you. Oh, I tell you something, it just changes things. You can go into a Monday with your spring in your step because God, I believe in you. You can approach that next family crisis with a confidence. God, I believe in you. The third thing about faith, we're doing good. I've only got 32 things about faith today. The third thing about faith is this, is that faith is a catalyst to overcoming. Fear is trying to drown us. Faith is a catalyst to overcoming. It's what Peter did walking on water. Look at 1 John 5. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. Everyone. You call yourself a follower in Jesus? We're not talking about perfection. We're just talking about people who've opened their hearts to God. Everyone born of God. Everyone made new in God. Everyone, regardless of your past or what you think your future looks like. Everyone. Everyone means everyone. The youngest to the oldest. The people in Audacious Church who are in this building for the first time today, but you've been joining Audacious Journey for months online. Everyone. For the 50 people who just came through Alpha Online. Everyone who was born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Let me say that again. Who is it that overcomes? Who is it that overcomes? COVID-19, who is it that overcomes? Whose business will overcome? Whose mental and emotional health will overcome? Whose family will overcome? Whose life will overcome? The Bible says only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I love that. You know, the overcomer never really realized they were an overcomer until they had something to overcome. David was only a champion because he had an opportunity to take on a Goliath. And I don't think any of us in this room or anyone watching online were alive in the 1920s when the last global pandemic shut down economies and shut down nations. You know, in the 1920s with the Spanish flu, people were wearing masks all those years ago, 100 years ago as well. None of us have ever been here before. Gosh, what an opportunity to overcome. Friend, what an opportunity right now to begin to apply faith to our thinking and to our challenges and to our worries and to actually begin to speak over ourselves. Who is it that overcomes? Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Church, overcoming, it's your birthright. Overcoming is your destiny. Overcoming is what Jesus bought you with his blood for. You have the very Spirit of God. The same power, the Bible says, that rose Christ from the dead is alive in you. And I want you to know, if that same Spirit that's in you can raise a dead man to life, there is nothing impossible for our God in this season. The world has fear, we have faith. The world is looking at a doom and gloom scenario, we're looking at a big picture of faith. Because I'm here to tell you, faith doesn't make it easy, it just makes it possible. Faith doesn't do away with your problems, it helps you to overcome. Faith moves the mountains that doubt created. The doubt of pessimism, the doubt of our former life, the doubt of disappointment, the doubt of bitterness, the doubt of cynicism. And maybe you're watching this right now or you're in even in this room and cynicism and pessimism is there. You're thinking, oh, well, Glenn, it's okay for you, but, or maybe even you're saying, I don't even trust you, Glenn. I don't know about this church. Listen, ignore this church, ignore me for a moment, and listen to what the Bible says. This is written 2,000 years ago. It says this, these beautiful words, everyone born of God overcomes the world. You see, I can't take the old contents of my life and I'll apply it to a new pandemic. I've got to take the contents of faith. And friend, my prayer for you this day is that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that today becomes the day that you go, you know what, I give up. I've been trying to do this pandemic. I've been trying to do this life on my own. There's still emptiness. There's still stuff going on within me, and I just need God. Maybe that's you right now. You need God. Well, let me jump in quickly. The fourth thing about faith is this, is we talked before about a big picture, but the fourth thing that you need to know is that faith is future focused. It's focused on the future. Hebrews 11:1 says this, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith speaks of the future. Now, if you're taking notes, and those who take notes will sit closer to Jesus in heaven, I want you to write this down. Where there is no faith for the future, there is no power in the present. Let me say it again. Where there is no faith for the future, there is no power for the present. You see, in the Bible, we have a woman with the issue of blood, and for 12 years, she was sick, and she pushed through the crowd. She had faith for the future, and because she had faith for the future, where many other people were pressing in on Jesus and touching him, it made no difference. But because she had faith for the future, it meant that in the present, she could call down divine power that she could overcome the very thing that was making her sick. Of course, we have Bartimaeus, who had faith for the future, gave power in the now. Jairus' father, their faith for the future determined their new reality. Let me speak that again. Their faith for the future. And we see this in the Bible, where God says to men and women, he says, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? Because according to what you see, it will be done to you. What do you see? What do you see? If you're in debt, get faith that says in the future, I will be debt free. Now, it's still gonna require hard work and a change of lifestyle on your part, but it starts with faith. Friend, if your marriage is in crisis, get faith for the future that says despite everything that has transpired, I will be okay, we will be okay. If there's sickness in your body, get faith for the future that sees you one day being whole and well. Oh, remember, I'm not talking about name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. I'm just talking about faith that sees a different reality. It sees a different dimension in a season like this. Faith is not knowing what the future holds, but it's knowing who holds it. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Friend, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got my world in his hands. He's got your world in his hands. The fifth thing is this, friend, faith is a position. Faith is a position. In Genesis 13, we have a moment where Abraham and Lot and all their herdsmen and all their families are walking into a new area. And we have this moment where it says, Abram said, let's not have any quarreling between us. Because Lot's herdsmen and family were arguing with Abraham's herdsmen and family. And they were falling out with each other. Abraham says, no, let's not argue. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Now, why is this important? It's important because Lot thought he was blessed because he was the man. But he failed to recognize that the blessing on his life came from where he was positioned. Of course, Abram, he could say, well, listen, it doesn't matter if I go left or go right. I know God's with me because God has spoken it over me. God has blessed me. But Lot made the fatal error of getting out of position and still thinking he was favored because his favor and his faith
came from the position that he found himself in. Did you know, church, you can position yourself in faith? How do you do that every day? I'm going to show you. Hope the camera can stay on me. This is the position of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So before the social media scroll and before the coffee, or at least with the coffee, faith is a position. Oh, Christians can go shopping, but we're thinking about going to church. Are you kidding? Did you know that this church, did you know the house of God? Did you know that it was here? The Bible says in Acts 20:28 that Jesus Christ bought this with his blood. Oh, friend, faith is a position. And I want to speak to every single person in Chester, in our Chester campus right now, and I want to encourage you, position yourself this week in a place of faith. Position yourself with the Word of God, with the worship of God, with the people of God. And when you begin to position yourself, you begin to see and notice change. Because faith is a position in Jesus' name. In Zechariah chapter 8, it says this, "Let us go with you, because we have heard that God is with you." Faith is a position. In 2002, Sophie and I met a pastor, Pastor Russell and Sam Evans, and we made a decision. We're going to position ourselves in their life. Now, it was difficult because they lived in Australia and we lived in the United Kingdom, but every year we got on planes, we sat with them, speaking on phones. And friends, part of the blessing on Audacious Church, and in 2 weeks' time, we're going to start a new series called Own It. And we're going to be rolling out our vision, our steps forward into 2021, and I am really excited to let you know some really big stuff. Because how many of you know God's not finished with us yet? And I want you to know that part of the blessing on this house has come through the positioning that we have had with certain people in our lives. Faith is a position. But this week it starts with you in the morning opening your Bible. Read the book, friends. Read the book. Don't start with the boring sections. Start with the exciting sections. There's some boring bits. This guy begat, this person begat, this person began that bit. I skipped that as well. If you don't know where to start, start in the book of Acts with the early church. Start in the Gospel of John, reading about the life of Jesus. Faith is a position. And the sixth thing about faith, and I preached on this last year, I think it was, is that faith is a measurable thing. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, some men brought to Jesus a paralyzed man lying on a mat when Jesus saw their faith. And of course, what's fascinating in the Bible, in the New Testament, is that there were times in the New Testament where Jesus would comment about people's measure of faith. He talked about people with no faith, little faith, great faith, much faith. But in this verse we just read in Matthew chapter 9 verse 2, it says he saw their faith. And the reason is because there's another measure of faith that I call just enough faith. Just enough faith. Just enough faith to get out of bed on Monday morning. Just enough faith to begin to create some new routines of Bible reading. Just enough faith to get the kids to school. Just enough faith that Monday will be a day of breakthrough. And you know something? Even if I go to bed Monday night and the breakthrough didn't come, good news. For I have just enough faith that on Tuesday, I'm going to wake up. And Tuesday could be the day of breakthrough. Do you know why Christian people give up? It's because they lost the art of faith. Faith that is about seeing the big picture. Now, friends, I get it. In a crisis, in a pandemic, what we tend to do is we get caught up in the detail. We get caught up in the small picture. We get caught up in the, what will the Prime Minister say this week? What's the news reporting today? What are the current circumstances in my life? And I guess it's human nature for us to get distracted by those things. But I want you to know that if we are going to be like Proverbs 28 says, the wicked flee though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. We've got to step back from a moment from the detail and look at the big picture. Oh my gosh. It'll change your life. The big picture. The big picture. You see, faith is about applying the right contents. It's the catalyst that enables you to overcome. It's focused on the future. It's a position. And faith has a measure. And all I need today is not the same as you. You don't need the same as me. You need just enough for you to get up, to go about your day with a big picture. This is God, I don't know, but I trust you.